You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. I'm Pastor Craig Beeman. Sharing the message of Jesus Christ. Sharing the message of Jesus Christ today on Words of Encouragement.
Well, as you know, we have been looking at our church mission statement these last two Sundays, and today we will continue looking at that. And by now, you probably have it in your minds, maybe? Let's say it out loud together. Loving God, loving people, and sharing the message of Jesus Christ. Okay, we're going to memorize it. We'll get it. We'll get to it. But that, I don't want us just to know it. I want us to show it. I want us to live it. I want us to be out in our community loving people, loving God, loving people, and sharing that message, the message of Jesus Christ. And in an effort to do this, part of our effort is having things here at our church, which people can be involved in, people can be a part of. And so hopefully this next, we're planning on it, this next Wednesday night, the first week of March, there we go, the first Wednesday in March, we're going to start a little kids group, kids Bible study on Wednesday evenings. And so we'll have that in, we'll have the time in the bulletin for next Sunday, and you'll see more about that, but we want to start reaching out in that way. That's part of us loving people. That's part of reaching out. It's part of loving people, providing something for children in which they can learn about Jesus, in which they can learn who He is, learn who God is, and that He loves them. And it's very important. In fact, it's vital for us here at First Baptist to be reaching children. So you'll be praying about that, praying as that begins the first Wednesday in March. So as we look at this last portion of our mission statement, sharing the mission of Jesus Christ, this is something, as I say, that we need to live out. If we truly love people, then we care about where they're going when they die. Now look, that is one of the biggest expression, I think, of love that we can share with someone is the fact that Jesus died for them. They can have their sins forgiven, and that they can become a part of the family of God, and that when they die, they can go to heaven. They do not have to go to hell. There's no reason for anybody to choose to go there, and yet many people refuse God. They refuse the message of Jesus Christ. They would prefer to do things their way. They want to do their own thing. And we have the message of Jesus, and we must share that message. And if we truly love people, we will care enough to share that message. This morning, I want us to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. If you're able and you can stand, I ask that you do so in honor of the reading of the Word of God. The Bible tells us, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. May God bless the reading of His Word this morning. I invite you to be seated. Paul makes a very strong statement, a very strong proclamation, a very strong declaration here when he declares that we are ambassadors. You know, we're not just children of the King. That alone is going to cause people to look at us. That alone is going to draw people's attention toward us. Oh, you go to church, huh? Does it make a difference in your life? I'm going to watch you. So there are people who are watching us because we claim to be children of the King. But look, we have been called to be ambassadors for Christ. That means we have been called on to share with people that which God shares with us. And that is the message of Jesus Christ. We are to share that message. We are to talk with people about who Jesus is, as though God were making an appeal through us. So we are tools in the hands of God. That's what we are. God uses us to share His love with other people. He uses us to get the message of Jesus out in the world. How's it going to get out there? Well, preacher, there's preachers. Yeah, well, is there a one-to-one ratio on preachers to people? No. Does your preacher know everybody you know? No. How in the world are the people that you know going to know about who Jesus is? And so it's up to you. It's up to me to, when I meet people, when I the people I know, it's up to me to share with those that I come in contact with. So God has a plan, and He's using us in that plan. Well, the first question I have for us this morning is, why do we share the message of Jesus Christ? Why do we share it? Why? Well, preacher, you said so. Well, no. Wow, do you do everything the preacher says? I'm not going to let you don't have to answer out loud. I mean, goodness. But are you doing what God says? Look, God has commanded us to share. As Jesus was leaving His disciples, He left them with these words from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The command here is to make disciples. We are to make more of what we are. We are to make disciples. You and I are His disciples. And if we truly love God and if we truly love people, then we will care about those who are headed not to heaven but to hell. If we want to please God, if we want to be used by God, then we will share the message of Jesus Christ. We will do this. The command we have is to make disciples. We're to share the message with others. Jimmy Scroggins, he's the pastor of Family Church in Florida. He says, the only way we're going to reach millions of people for Christ is by having millions of people having millions of gospel conversations. Pretty good. Pretty good. Wise words. If we do not bring up the gospel with people, who will? You know, you and I cannot fall back on the hope that everybody is going to randomly tune in to a radio station and hear the gospel. Because many of us feel, well, my goodness, preacher, the radio, look, the radio's out there, the TV's out there. Yeah, there's a lot of kind of funky theology out there too, but there's radio preachers, there's TV preachers, there's internet preachers. You know, you got on YouTube, you can go back on podcast and listen. It's out there, preacher. Why don't they just tune in? People know where the church house is. If they want Jesus, they'll go. Oh, really? You realize that we have lost a generation. It has happened. There were preachers in my day that kept saying, we're going to lose a generation of people. There's going to be a whole generation of people who never went to church. They're growing up. They never went to church. Their parents never took them. Their parents never said, look, they never drugged their children. That was a bad attempt at a joke. All right, their parents never drugged their children to church. They never said, we're going no matter what. This is Sunday. This is what we do. And there it is. And we have a generation of people who have never been to church, and they're growing up, and they have no clue who God is. They don't know that He loves them. They look at Christians, and the ones they see, unfortunately, are the ones who I call rabid, the ones who are angry, the ones who are marching and protesting and waving Bibles in the air and telling people to, you know, straighten up your life. And it's like, that's scary to them. They need to know who God is. They need to know God loves them. And they need God's people to show them that love. They need to see that and experience it. Look, God's going to clean people up. God does the cleaning. We do the bringing. Amen. We do the bringing of the message to them. We do the bringing of them to a presentation of the gospel, to church, to an event. We do the bringing, but God does the changing. God does the cleaning. God does the transforming of the heart. And so, look, you know, he's not asking us to do miracles. He's asking us to care about people. He's asking us to share the message of Jesus. But we can't sit back and just hope and pray that everybody in the world's going to someday just accidentally tune in and go, oh, well, I just need this Jesus. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But the chances of it happening to everybody in the world, pretty slim. But the chances of you sharing, because you know them, the chances of you having an opportunity to talk with them are a lot higher than the chances of them just kind of thinking, huh, I may tune in and just see. We're the ones to bring up the topic because people need to hear it. Paul asks in Romans 10:14, how then are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? How are people who have not believed in Jesus supposed to call on him? They don't believe. How are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? I don't even know about Jesus. Who is he? And how are they to hear without a preacher? Now, this is a preacher, one who proclaims. This is just one who proclaims the gospel. This is not necessarily a man who is the pastor of a church. This is a person who shares the gospel, a preacher, a sharer of the good news. How are they to hear without a preacher? They need to hear it. They need to hear it from you. They need to hear it from me. God has commanded us to share the message of Jesus. It is life for the lifeless. It is hope for the hopeless. It is water for the spiritually thirsty and forgiveness for the sinner. Another reason we share is because it deepens our prayer life. We will find that when we share the gospel, our prayer life gets a boost. Why? Because you are going to pray for the one with whom you have shared. You are going to pray for them. You've said something to them about Jesus. You've said, look, God can forgive you. God loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins in your place. Your sin was paid for when Jesus died on that cross. You can be forgiven of your sins. You can walk with Jesus in this world and the next. You can do that. Is that something you would like to do? Look, we can share that message, and when we do, we're going to pray for that one for whom we have shared. We're going to share with them, and then that our prayer life's going to be ignited. We're going to be praying for them every day. Oh, dear God, be with so-and-so. Lord, help his heart to be open to the truth of the gospel. You're going to start praying for that person, and you're going to share with another. And you're going to start praying for them. And your prayer life will be deepened because you're going to be praying for people to find Jesus. And you're going to be able to pray for them by name because you've talked to somebody. You know, it's easy for us to say, oh, dear God, be with the lost. Be with those who need to know you. Amen. Oh, it's a whole different situation when you're saying, oh, dear God, be with my friend Andy. My friend Andy needs you, Lord. Oh, God, please be with him. Open his heart. When you start praying for somebody you know, it changes. Your prayer life changes. Something happens in your heart as you pray for something to happen in their heart. We share the message of Jesus because we've been commanded to and because we love God and we love people. That's why we do it. Why do we do it? That's why. We've been commanded to and because we love God and we love people. Well, why do people need to hear the message of Jesus? Romans 3:23 tells us this, for all have sinned. Oh, yes. There's that little three-letter word, all. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Why do people need to hear the message of Jesus Christ? Because they are sinners and in need of forgiveness. They need to be forgiven. They're sinners. They're headed to hell. They're headed to a Christless eternity. It's not where I want to go. I don't think I want my friends going there. I don't want anyone to go there. This is a place where the Bible tells us the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. That's what the Bible says. Catherine Renfro, the National Director of Women's Evangelism at the North American Mission Board, said this: when we see people and care of people the way Christ sees and cares for people, we will care about their eternities the way Christ cares about their eternities. Ooh, that's good. That's good stuff. Do we care enough about the future lives of those around us? Do we care about where they're going when they die? People need to know that they can repent. They can turn away from their sins and follow Jesus. They need to know that God loves them. They need to know it, but they don't just need to hear it. It needs to be shown to them. They need to see it. They're wandering in this world and they're looking for anything, something, anything that will satisfy the emptiness of their heart. They will try to fill their hearts with many things, and they will fill their hearts with good stuff and bad stuff. Some try drugs, sex, making a lot of money, building a lot of, or buying a lot of material possessions to fill the hole in their heart. Something missing in there, and they're trying to figure out what can fit in there and satisfy them. Oh, well, if I can get that new boat, if I can get that new truck, I'll be happy. Get the new truck, it wears off. I need something else. I need something else. Yeah, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. They will try their entire lives until someone shares with them the way to God. Some are even hoping they can earn their way to heaven, as if somehow that the good they do will outweigh the bad, and God will say, well, you did enough. Come on in. Somehow, you know, somehow you'll do good enough. But our sin separates us from God. And there's no way we can do good enough or enough good to outweigh our bad. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by what? For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Oh no. No, no, no. We can't work our way into heaven. We can't be good enough. We can't be smiley enough. We can't know enough scripture to get us into heaven. All of that is good stuff, but it's not getting us to heaven. When we place our faith in Jesus, when we place our faith in Him and Him alone, that is what gets us to heaven. When we trust in Him for the forgiveness of sins, when we say to God, God, you know what? I believe that when Jesus died on that cross, He died for me. I believe that my sins were placed upon Him, and that in order for me to go to heaven, I must trust in what Jesus did on that cross to forgive me of my sins. I must repent of my sins. That means I must stop. I must turn away from those sins and go another direction. That direction is toward Jesus. That's what I need to do. And when you do that, when you trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, when you allow Him to forgive you, when you allow Him to be in control of your life, you are one of His children. And people need to know this. They can't work their way there. Nobody can work their way to heaven. It's been provided by God through Christ by trusting in what Jesus did on that cross. We share the message of Jesus with people because they will miss heaven without the opportunity to repent. And we must allow ourselves to give them that opportunity. We must make time for people and talk to them and share with them. They can have Christ in their lives. They can be forgiven. God does love them. It doesn't matter how horrible and repugnant their sin is. God can forgive them. That's the truth of the gospel. We share the message of Jesus with people because they will miss heaven without the opportunity to repent. Well, again, I came up with this question. Why are we the ones who need to share? Why are you and me, the children of God, the ones? Why can't someone else do it? Why can't we just publish a lot of literature and just throw it out there and just hope that you know, it doesn't get sucked down the drain, street drain, and get rained on or faded by the sun. Why can't we just do something like that? Why are we the ones? Well, in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus came to seek that which was lost. When he physically left the earth, he placed the seeking of the lost in the hands of his disciples. He handed over the responsibility of sharing the good news to his disciples. He said, "You go. And as you go, you make disciples." Here it is. Here is your job, your responsibility, your duty, your command. Go and share this good news. And the disciples sought the lost because they were given the task and because they cared about where people spent eternity. They shared because they had been changed. They had been changed. Their heart had been changed. Their heart had been transformed. They no longer saw the world as the world sees it. They saw it differently. They begin to see it the way God sees it. They begin to see people in need of forgiveness. They begin to see people in need of Jesus. They begin to see people in need of God's love. And when they opened their eyes and saw that, they were compelled to go and to share. If you and I have asked Christ into our hearts, we are his disciples. We have been changed. If we've truly been changed, if we've truly been saved, then we're to seek and share with those who are lost. We're to share because we have the answer. You can share what you have experienced with another person, but you cannot share what you have not experienced with someone else. You can't share salvation with someone else if you've never experienced it yourself. You might say, "Well, now wait a minute. I can share the words." Oh, sure, you can share the words, and the words don't return void. The Holy Spirit will use it. But if you can't share what's happened to you, something's messed up there. Something's messed up if you can't share that this has actually happened to you in your heart. That your heart has been changed, that you see people differently, that you have a love for others, that you have a concern for where they spend eternity. If you can't share that, if you don't have that in your heart, then I beg you today to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. "Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." What a horrible place to be. Verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." God has rescued us. God has rescued us. Do you realize that each and every one of us each and every one of us at one point was headed to hell. We were headed there. Yes. That's where we were headed. Yes. But God said, "Wait, I have provided the way. I have provided the way for everyone to have forgiveness of sins. I have provided the way for them to be a part of my family. I have sent Jesus to die for their sins. If they will trust in what he did on that cross, they can be a part of my family." Listen, if we had the cure for cancer and didn't share it, I say that would be criminal. Criminal. How many families here have been touched by cancer? Their families have been touched by cancer. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, it makes me angry. I hate cancer. If I had the cure, would you ransack my house and find that cure? It's okay. If I had the cure and I didn't share it, would you ransack my house? Would you come in the night with torches and ransack my house? Maybe not that way, but you'd make your way in, wouldn't you? You'd do it for your friend who's dying of cancer, wouldn't you? We owe people the gospel. We owe people the gospel. God has the cure for our sin. We have that message. We've got it. People need to hear it. They need to hear it from us. We know that the only way to have a relationship with God is through Christ. We've experienced it. Those of us here who have experienced it, we know what that's like. If we don't share that with others, it's if we are not even grateful for the pain and the suffering of Christ. It's as if we're not grateful for what He's done for us. Again, why are we the ones to share? Don't we have enough preachers? I tell you what, two preachers in a room's more than enough, isn't it? I hear it every time. Anytime I'm talking to another preacher and I'm out in public, somebody says, "Oh, too many preachers in here." Ooh. Goodness, we don't have enough preachers. That's, you know, that we think we do. We think, well, that, yeah, good night, preacher. Look, we got churches everywhere. We got some churches that are side by side. We've got some churches in our association that are just down the road from each other. They're not far from each other. And it's like, wow, you might think we do have enough that would share the message. But when a Christian feels it's all up to the preacher to share the message of Jesus, there are people who get left out. Because the preacher isn't, you know, I used to think when these guys become a preacher, suddenly they are given this extra special knowledge. I used to think that, you know, that, wow, they know who's in the hospital. They know who needs to talk to them. And they're out there talking to them. And it's just amazing. And God just moves in that way. And He just automatically wakes up in the morning, oh, so-and-so's, they're going to be in the hospital today. I think I better go. And it's just like, wow. And then I learned otherwise. My dad told me one time, he said, "Son, if I don't know, I can't go." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, if a family doesn't tell me that somebody's in the hospital and they want to visit, I don't know." I said, "Oh, I just thought somehow, you know, that was a supernatural thing that happened." "Well, I don't know everybody you know, and I can't reach everybody you know, but you can reach those you know. You can do that. All the preachers in town do not know all the people in town. You know people that the preacher doesn't. You run into people that the preacher will never see. The sharing of the message of Christ is for every child who bears the name of Christian." Oh my, it's up to us. It's up to us. But please do not mishear me. It is not all up to us. Because sometimes I think when you hear a sermon similar to this, you think, "Oh my goodness, I've got to muster up the strength. I've got to do this. No. Remember this. God is not an NFL coach who stands on the sidelines and says, "Go out there and do the job." God there's no coach like Him. God is the one who says, "Look, let's go. Let's go together." And God enables us, empowers us to do what we need to do. He comes with us. That's the best news to me in the world. To be able to say, "Look, when I go to talk to somebody, I don't have to muster up a bunch of fancy words. I don't have to get all worried and concerned and get nervous about it. I can just go and talk to somebody like I'm talking to you today and say, 'Hey, how's it going? What's going on with your life? Everything going well? How are things?'" And you have learned the way to look at someone when you ask that question that says you care and you really want to know. You know what I'm talking about. I did that with someone this week. Her mother had passed away. And I saw her, happened to run into her. Did I happen to run into her? I don't think so. I think that was the appointment there. I'd never see her, but occasionally, and there she was. And I looked at her in the eye and I said, "How are you today? How are things?" She knew exactly what I was asking. And she shared. Look, it doesn't take much to talk to people. And you and I, we can turn that situation slowly but surely toward Christ, toward God. We can talk about Him. Those sheets that I mentioned give you some hints on how to share the gospel. They're out there in Mission Hall. You might want to grab one before you leave today. But we're to share the message of Jesus because we're commanded to. And because we do love God and we do love people. We're to share the message of Jesus with people because they will miss heaven without the opportunity to repent. We share the message of Jesus because we are his disciples. We share it because we're his disciples. As we go through this week, there will be an opportunity. Look, in fact, there are already ready-made opportunities this week with this cluster revival. With this cluster revival, come with me. We're having a revival meeting. If they don't know what that is, it's just a preaching meeting. Just I want you to come with me. Just invite somebody this week. Schedule's right there in the bulletin. You can just invite them and just say, hey, come with me. I'll pick you up. Just go ahead. Grab somebody. Bring them with you. Let them hear the message of Jesus. That's an easy thing to get started with. You can easily just say, hey, come with me. But this is the message that we are to share, the message of Jesus Christ. This is what God has given to us as believers to share. The question remains, what are we doing with the message? What are we doing with the message? Are we sitting on it in our house like a cure for cancer saying, well, we've got it, we're good, we're okay? Or if people knew that they could be forgiven, or if people could only know that God loves them, and you've got that message and you're holding it close to your heart. I've heard too many stories about people who've said, well, why didn't you ever tell me about this Jesus? Why didn't you ever tell me? We've been friends for years. Why didn't you say something? Be one who says something. Be one who says something. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love for us. God, I thank you for, your forgiveness that you have shared with us. None of us deserve to be forgiven by you, but God, you chose to forgive us. If we'd only just simply ask to be forgiven of our sins, you said you would do it. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Your word tells us that. Father, your word tells us all of us have sinned. None of us are going to make it into heaven because somehow we've been good enough. We've all sinned. But Father, your great love that motivates you, compels you to share forgiveness with us. You have done that, Father, through your Son's death on the cross. Lord, I pray that we will share that message. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that has heard that message. Maybe there's someone here today that says, look, I kind of hear what you're saying, Brother Craig, but I got some questions about that. Oh, don't put those questions off. The decision to follow Christ is the most important decision you will ever, ever make. What to do with Jesus? My prayer is that you will consider him. Consider where you stand with him. Have you given your heart to him? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? Are you sorry for your sins? Do you want to repent, turn away from your sins, and follow Jesus? Maybe today you need to come and say, look, I want Jesus. I want him. I need him. Maybe you need to come and just say, look, I need him. I need him. Maybe you need to take some time to talk with one of us during the week. Don't put it off too late. Don't put it off too long. Make some time to talk to somebody you know and talk to them about what it means to have Jesus in your heart, how that happens, how that occurs. The Holy Spirit calls on you. If you're here this morning and you feel like that's something you need to consider, let me tell you that that's something you need to consider. If you're feeling that way, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, speaking to the truth of God's Word. Listen to him, please. Father, thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
What a joy it is to have you along here on this Words of Encouragement podcast. Thank you for listening today. If you have any questions concerning who Jesus is or how to have a relationship with him, you can always go to fbcwinsboro.com. That's fbcwinsboro.com. And you'll find a link to Steps to Peace with God. And you'll be able to watch a little video presentation of the gospel. If you have any questions, please call us, contact us. All that information is right there at fbcwinsboro.com. We'd love to hear from you. Truthfully, we would love to hear from you. Please contact us. as soon as you can. Again, thank you for listening to Words of Encouragement. We'll be back next week, and we will be continuing looking at the great stories of the Bible. The great stories of the Bible. It's been exciting so far. Join with us next week as we pick up with Moses once again.